welcome back to Flat Mountain Brew House here with the Garden City Community College Coaches Show. So happy you're listening along. And like I said just a few moments ago, still a chance to get down, say hi, grab a drink, grab a dinner, and enjoy the night out downtown here on a Thursday night in Garden City. But gentlemen, we kind of teased moving forward. We're going to talk about the current state of Major League Baseball. It's always one of my favorite things to talk about, especially with guys who know what they're doing. You know, I can sit here and be the talking head, but I don't have the experience or the resume that both you two gentlemen have. So when we look at the game, and right now, obviously, the first couple weeks of spring training starting to get underway, biggest thing for me, pitch clock, bat clock, and then I guess pitch clock and bat clock is kind of the same thing. The expansion of the bases. Also, a couple of new pickoff rules. Only two trips there, looking over, so I know that'll affect you, Matt, as a pitcher, potentially here. The college game, it's still untouched. So fortunately, you're still dealing with the regular kind of setting. Coach, your instant reaction to that, and I'm not sure if you've had experience in the past, maybe through the minor league ranks, seeing it kind of happen, and then where it is now?
Yeah, it's interesting for sure. I'm glad they did such an extensive study throughout minor league baseball to have the data to go with it and say that, okay, yes, this is a good idea. You know, it's definitely taken some used to, getting some used to as a fan, watching a lot of spring training games and seeing guys get on the hill. And we talk a lot about mental process and mental routine between pitches, and you got to speed them up. You don't have as much time to just truly get your feet under you and get your mind right. You got to be able to do it on the fly. So it's fun to watch guys make that adjustment, and but so compete in the zone every time.
If you were playing catcher, which you did for a long time, what are maybe a positive, a negative of those two, of the new rules?
The positive about it is pitchers don't have time. Sorry, Matt, this can hurt your feelings. Pitchers don't have time if they give up a hit to feel sorry for themselves. They got to get back up there. They got to get the next pitch going. I know when I was playing, it was you give up a homer, and then it's, you know, there's a lot of time between pitches to where you can let your mind wander to not so positive things. Now it's like, I got to get back up there. I got 20 seconds to get going again. I got to make the next pitch, or I'm going to get another one sent over the fence.
All right, Matt, I'll ask you the same question. As a player right now, as a pitcher, what are your thoughts? What are your initial ideas about the rules, and how do you kind of see them being maybe a positive, a negative, like, dislike?
It's kind of hit and miss, if you want me to be honest. It was really a shock, you know, going up and having the 20 seconds because, you know, I like to change my timing up a lot. And when I'm trying to mess with the base runners or the hitters, I still have to work at a fast pace, you know, and it's kind of a struggle sometimes because sometimes I'd like to hold a little longer, but I can't because I have the 20 seconds, you know, and just pitching in general, you know, if you get flustered, you know, you can't, like Coach Cox said, you have to speed up, you have to get over it fast and get right back into the zone.
So are they including that 20-second for you guys as well? Okay, so that is coming to the – I was wondering about that. I wasn't quite sure as how far deep they were going to go down with that. So now it's at all levels. You've got 20 seconds. And especially coming off kind of a cold year where you redshirted last year, I mean, you're preparing for essentially a career of one way, and then you get ready to go and you've got it looking this way.
Yeah.
What was that like kind of jumping in with that feeling? I'm not saying you weren't prepared, of course, but you had to prepare differently.
Yeah, it was definitely weird, especially going into summer ball. You know, they don't really have a whole lot of, like, technicality rules like that. But still, I felt like over the summer I was working at more of a fast pace, not really, you know, trying to take my time, just wanted to throw. So I didn't really – I was already working kind of at a fast pace, but then when I heard that there was the 20 seconds, it was like, okay, now I need to work even faster.
Where were you at this summer? What did you do?
I was in Augusta, Kansas, playing for the Kansas Cannons.
Okay, and that is in the same grouping as the Dodge City A's, right?
I think it's a different league.
Different league, okay.
Yes.
Great Bend Batcats, maybe? Are they in that? Is that, that's in the Dodge City
They're
A's
in the Dodge
one.
City Dodge, one,
okay, so.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep track of these summer leagues.
Yeah.
I can go Cape Cod League with you. I can go Northwoods League, and outside of that, I'm not too sharp. I got to get a little bit sharper here on my my summer league baseball, especially being out here in Central Kansas. So, what was that experience like? What were some of the big things you wanted to work on in that sequence for your summer?
I honestly had a blast. You know, coming off the red shirt, you know, I was like, man, like, you know, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Like, I'm gonna have to work my butt off, but. I don't know, one day I just sat down in my bed and I was like, you know, these guys are in the same boat as me, you know, whether they were redshirted or didn't have a whole lot of time. And that really helped me mentally. And from there, I just took off and had so much fun and really got to know the guys and just had a blast.
Coach, I want to loop this in with recruiting because I think that's a good tool. Like Matt said, you know, a lot of guys may be redshirted. Maybe they're going to a new college. They don't have a lot of tape. They don't have a lot of film. It's a good chance to get some at the summer league. How much do you guys as coaches value that, and what are you looking for kind of in your recruit overall?
There's a lot of value of that in finding kids in summer ball programs. Social media has also helped tremendously. I'm not a big Twitter guy, but I have to have Twitter because, you know, 17, 18, 19-year-old kids, they all have Twitter, and they all communicate on Twitter. Every video is on Twitter. Every highlight is on Twitter. So we do our research. It also tells us what kind of a person the kid is as well. Is he liking and retweeting positive things, or is he liking and retweeting kind of borderline things? That'd probably be the first thing we look for on the recruiting side. Next thing we look for, what are the academics like? Is he a good student? Are we going to have to worry about him off the field, or is he handling his business like a professional every day? Once we check those first two boxes, okay, can the dude play? Do we have a need for that role? Does he fit our system? Does he fit our style of play? Checks all those boxes. Let's get him on campus as quick as possible. Let's see if he wants to be a Buster.
How much do you use the summer period versus kind of the preseason period? Because it's such a weird, I will say, time of the season when you're thinking about recruiting, of course, because basketball, it's right in the winter, and then you get the whole year off. Baseball, yeah, you got the spring, but guys are playing the summer. They already know where they're going to go. And even so, prior to that, they're getting ready through the fall to go and play in the spring. So when you look at it, you've really got, I mean, maybe a handful of months of just pure, okay, there's uncertainty as to where guys are going. And I'm not talking necessarily like a high school level. I'm thinking maybe a little bit more in the transfer portal because we're in this COVID era or a couple years removed where it's kind of hard to keep things straight. Guys are bouncing around, going to different places, which I think is great. What do you kind of use and say your most productive couple of months or sequences when it comes to recruiting?
Boy, it's really a year-round process. Like right now, I two assistants, Coach Davis and Coach DeVille, are both on the road. Coach Davis is back in Denver recruiting the 2024 class because we're one arm away from being full on the 2024 class they're currently recruiting. We're one arm away from being filled in the 23 class this year, graduating seniors. So they're getting to work through the kids' spring season so we can see, you know, how they interact with their high school teammates, how they interact. There's a lot of professors that are usually at those games. So I can usually find a professor then say, hey, what kind of students is like behind closed doors? And I get to know them that way. Then the summer gets going and it gets really fast. That's where their showcases really get going, and that's where the bulk of our traveling and recruiting will really happen. Like in the 2024 class this year's juniors, that's where the summer offers will start to come through. That's where we'll really start to, you know, travel guys and see them 2, 3, 4, 5 times throughout the course of the summer, and then we're going to try to get them on a visit in the fall, probably in August or September, try to lock them down in the early signing period in November, and then we know who our roster is at the end of the calendar year going into the spring season. We're getting ready for the next class coming up.
Well, all right. If you're listening and you want to be a Buster, you've got a pretty good arm or have a knack for hitting bat in baseball. Sounds like a pretty good recruiting pitch to me. If I still had some eligibility, I might give it a thought there. Let's go back to kind of our general conversation. Growing up, you had a really good mentor, I'd say, or at least a really good way of kind of digesting the game and learning. Talk about kind of growing up with your dad being a professional 19 years, like you said, and what that was like and what you took from it, maybe what you left behind in a sense when you became, you know, the guy in charge as a head coach.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it was a blast growing up. You know, it was different because every summer was a different city every year. Minor league baseball, it was, you know, we lived everywhere from Tri-City, Washington, to as far south as Houston, Texas, as far east as Greensboro, North Carolina, as far north as Des Moines, Iowa, I believe is the farthest north we made it, just about everywhere in between. And it was a blast. I'm sorry, the farthest north we technically made it was Montreal, Canada in 1999. Lived there, and then in, let's see, in 1996, Tampa Bay Devil Rays expanded that year, and they didn't have a minor league system set up, so they sent all their American-born players down to Mexico City. So I lived in Mexico City and Montreal, just about everywhere in the U.S., so it was awesome. It was great for me because I got to see a lot of different places. I got to truly live the pro-style lifestyle, even though I was nowhere near talented enough as a player to play in professional baseball. I got to live that through my father a little bit. Was blessed through that as well to have a lot of great mentors that I still talk to this day, with the Rockies pitching coordinator and hitting coordinator. They've shape a lot of our philosophies that we use here at Garden City. So it was a great experience. Stuff I left behind, didn't get like a true childhood, I guess, if you want to say. it was summer nights at the baseball field every single night. There was a little less play dates, but it was a little more hanging hanging out with minor leaguers every single night.
What are some of the guys that you still talk to or maybe use kind of as a resource from those days?
Yep, I'd say probably the biggest one is a guy named Doug Linton. He's the Rockies pitching coordinator at the moment, minor league pitching coordinator, and he really helps us on the arm health side. Okay, a guy threw this many pitches in an outing, how many days off does he need? What does his lifting routine need to look like to get him bounced back and ready to start the next day? Very, very arm conscious, very arm health conscious. He's probably been the biggest resource I've used.
I'm not going to use the word. I'm not going to use the two words. I'll say TJ. We'll leave it there. Have you had an experience with that? Or when we talk about arm health here and how important it is in the game now, where do you kind of feel with that? And what has been your history? I hope it has not, or maybe it has, and we're well past it. We're ready to play baseball, but I won't put it out there if you know what I'm talking about. Very prevalent. Where do you kind of value all that, and what's been your journey like?
So thankfully, I have not had it. I'm very blessed. But it's nothing to play around with. If you go out and you throw, you know, 60, 70, 80 pitches, I mean, you want to get that arm taken care of and just stay healthy. You know, any time that I get, I try to go into the trainer and say, hey, like, arm's feeling a little sore. Like, can we do any sort of treatments? And they're always like, heck yeah, like, let's get it done. Stay healthy.
What are some of the most important treatments? I think that's always a good insight because you see, you know, your favorite baseball team, insert pitcher has tightness, has soreness, whatever it might be in that arm, and everyone starts freaking out. But what are some ways that, you know, they're treating that and trying to avoid getting to that process?
Definitely icing. After you're done, get some ice on it as quick as you can. A couple days later, like 2-3 days later, I try to either do cupping or scraping. I'm more of a cupping guy, so I recommend people try both just to figure out which one they are and stick to that.
All right. Growing up in Centerville, Michigan there, you went to Centerville High School. We were talking about this prior. We were going to try to guess, you know, who you were rooting for growing up. And now I'm using this as an Indiana guy. You're a Michigan guy, so we're kind of the same region. I know the Tigers are involved. Tigers have not been very good as of late. They've had some great pitchers all time. They've had, you know, Miguel Cabrera's been there forever. I'm going to guess you're a Cubs fan based on the geography and based on where we're at.
So I'm actually not. Okay. I hate to say it because people always get mad at me, but I'm a Houston Astros fan.
Okay. All right.
And the reason why is because I've got, you know, a few family members there in Austin. And so it was my first major league game that I went to was at Houston. And it was a blast. And I had fun. And Jose Altuve just kind of slowly became my favorite player. So I just got to go with the Astros.
Well, you hopped on early. It sounds like you were there when it was bad and when they were still in the National League. So we're not gonna say anything about that. Coach, which was a team, obviously, maybe Dad was involved in this decision a little bit more so, but growing up, what were some of the guys, some of the teams that you really latched on to and rooted for?
Obviously loved following my father and following his game and his footsteps that he went through. The guy I started really watching the most and when I started really getting into baseball and watching it on TV every night was Joe Mauer with the Minnesota Twins. So the Twins have had some lean years as well, but I'm excited about this year's group. They've looked sharp in spring training, and hopefully this is the year for the Twins.
Well, I'm gonna throw mine out there. And some that listen to our morning show probably know. I'm actually a Miami Marlins fan, and it is for kind of a similar reason. I've got family in Florida, Southwest Florida, or Southeast Florida it would be, Southern Florida in general. That I have had growing up playing baseball, tons of memorabilia. They were good in the early 2000s when I started kind of paying attention to baseball and getting into it. I've been a Marlins fan, and of all my sports fandoms, that's where I'm most diehard. And it's been tough. I'm not going to lie. It's been tough. You got Pablo Lopez, though, from us. Mm-hmm. Saw that.
That was a good gift for us. He's tearing it up right now.
I'm going to miss Pablo a lot. He was one of my favorite pitchers that the Marlins had. Yeah, so I don't know if that was probably a bit of a shock there, but we're all over the place. We're not really regional when you think about it. So that's the thing about baseball. It's a player, you know, a team, whatever it might be, or just region where you're at. I wonder, because I was thinking, you know, Michigan, I'm like, Tigers have been good. I've got some Tiger friends that are up in that area.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, they still have a place in my heart for sure.
Yeah,
but
absolutely. Always going to root for them. At least you didn't say Cubs. I was worried about the Cubs. I have nothing wrong with the Cubs personally, but being in that era, you probably, I mean, we're not, I'm 23, we're not too far off from each other, so going through high school there, the Cubs started to get good, there were a lot more fans that started to kind of populate the area, some things got started to kind of file in there. But, gentlemen, I've had a ton of fun chatting with you this evening, and I do appreciate you coming down. Give us a shout-out, kind of give us a plug. What are we looking forward to these next couple of weeks as conference play gets going? Coach, we can start.
Just looking forward to getting better each and every week. You know, we've systematically built upon, you know, our pitching staff's gotten better one day after another, one pen after another, one gain after another. Our offense has gotten better day after day after day, and our defense is really starting to click, and I'm excited to see the firepower that we can throw up on the scoreboard and the zeros we can put up on the defensive side of the board as conference gets going here.
Matt? How would you describe your team? Get some people to come out, enjoy some Bronkbuster baseball this spring.
Just get excited because, yeah, we've had a slow start, but the wheels are just about to start getting rolling, and we're ready to go.
I'll tell you what, if you guys have the energy that you produce night in and night out there in Conestoga Arena when it comes to Garden City basketball, we're going to be in really good shape moving forward. But, gentlemen, thank you so much for coming on. We do appreciate it. Thanks for the conversation tonight.
Thank you so much for having us. We appreciate it.
That is Garden City Bronkbuster baseball head coach Caleb Cox and left-handed pitcher Matthew Lorenz. We're closing it out here from Flat Mountain Brewhouse. Short show for us this evening. We'll be back here in a few weeks. We are off next Thursday. No coaches show Thursday. We will be covering state basketball, fingers crossed, or community college regional basketball, fingers crossed there. But so happy you're able to come out. So happy you're able to join us this evening and listen along. I'm Baylen Hike, closing us out here on 99.9 The Rock for another edition of the Garden City Community College Coaches Show.